back to Fantasy Baseball Today. It is Wednesday. Sorry we took Tuesday off. I hope you had a great 4th. And before I get yelled at, happy birthday, Chris, okay? You happy now? Happy birthday.
Why would you get yelled at?
Because you're going to be like, I can't believe you got my birthday. That is like classic Chris.
That's definitely me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being so difficult. But thank you. I appreciate it.
No, happy birthday. And it was yesterday.
Yes.
And I tweeted it. I wrote on your wall, I think. Maybe I did.
I don't know. I have so many people writing on my wall, Adam.
But you didn't give
me
anything.
I'm always amazed. Every year on Facebook, I have so many friends. And then the other 364 days of the year, nobody loves me.
I thought about writing on your wall. I did. I opened it up. I looked
insincere.
At who had already written there. And then I was like, whatever, I could just tell them in person.
Well, also, it's like there's like people that like I literally have not spoken to since like high school who just like the only interactions we've had in the last 12 years are like them writing on my wall on my birthday. And I don't write on their wall for their birthday. So I know it's insincere. At least I'm sincere.
Isn't it at least a little flattering that they've taken some time out of their life?
No, because Facebook tells you.
Yeah, but still, they don't have they can do what I did. They can think about it and not do it.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's nice that they did that, and it makes it's you're a bad person for not writing on their wall. But anyway, welcome to the show, Fantasy Baseball at CBSi.com. So it's been a while. We haven't really recapped baseball since Friday morning, and I'm gonna propose a new segment here since I don't think we've ever gone this long without having a show, you know, other than the mailbag, the pre-recorded mailbag. The segment is so. What do you want to talk about, Scott White?
Well, probably the biggest news of the weekend, I think it happened on Friday, so it feels stale now. But Clint Frazier getting called up for the Yankees and homering in his first game.
A bit of a cheapie. It was a Crawford box homer. You know.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know. It was a few rows back in the Crawford boxes, and I was impressed by it nonetheless because Clint Frazier is one of those prospects who has always been rated among the top prospects, was a 5th overall pick, I think it was, when he was drafted by the Indians. And you kept hearing about his bat speed. That home run, his bat was so quick through the zone. It didn't look like he swung very hard, first of all. It looked like he was off balance, didn't swing very hard. And I swear, the bat like disappears in his hands for a split second. It was so quick through the zone. Now, he hasn't done much since.
No,
that
he
first
hasn't.
Game.
He had a home run and a double in that game on Friday, and Clint Frazier doesn't have a hit since.
That home run traveled 345 feet. I'm going to be the guy who poo-poos the exciting
Fair
young
But who cares? Whatever. It's 4 games. He's Clint Frazier. He's a big prospect. He's 57% owned, and he's going to play every day while he is up. We don't know what happens when Aaron Hicks comes back, but while Clint Frazier's up, he's playing every day. So
I would imagine it depends on Clint Frazier's performance. Clint Frazier is in charge of what happens when Aaron Hicks comes back.
Clint Frazier or Cameron Maben?
Maben.
Clint Frazier or Steven Souza?
Souza.
Let's see. I moved Frazier up to about 50th in my outfield rankings, and that's the same range as the guys you're talking about. Today I'm going to say Souza, but I think a big game from Frazier tonight could change that.
Well, Souza's been really good. I was looking at the top 8 hitters since we last podcasted on Friday, forgetting about the Monday show. Steven Souza's one of them. He's kept it going. How about, would you drop Adam Jones for Clint Frazier?
No.
Nah.
I might do that in like a 3 outfielder league. You know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Like the shallower the league, because Jones, I think it's pretty clear he's
a Jag.
He's a Jag, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a fine starter anywhere, but he's not going to be a difference maker for you. Frazier probably won't either, but you feel like there's a better chance. So I could see it in a shallower.
Well, Frazier could be a difference maker both ways, right? Like he could be so overmatched that he costs you a week before getting sent down.
Well,
or
I don't think anybody
just
needs to start him yet. I think it's clearly a pickup and stash until he proves he needs to be started situation.
Okay, so that's Scott's nominee for what he wants to talk about today. Chris, what do you want to talk about today?
Kevin Gausman!
Wow, one start.
Yeah!
Wow.
He's great now.
He's about 55% owned, just like Clint Frazier, right around there.
Apparently, we just have to wait until late June to rely on Kevin Gausman, because this is 2 years in a row now, and actually, there's an explanation. We've talked all about Kevin Gausman, how the splitter is the key for him, how he wasn't throwing it earlier in the season. Same thing happened last year, and he has talked about how he doesn't feel comfortable throwing the splitter early in the season. It leads to blisters. He doesn't have the feel for it. He threw it more than he had all season on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Rays, and what do you know? He struck out 9 batters. Usage rate has gone way up in the month of June. I think it was above 20%, and he had some big strikeout performances there too.
Yeah, I think he's definitely somebody who needs to be added at this point, and hopefully he gets comfortable with throwing the splitter early, because just imagine what his season could be looking like.
I mean,
he's been throwing the splitter like this all along.
We saw last year, you know, the second half of the season, he was pretty much a low 3s ERA with a strikeout per inning, even if he's just that.
Yeah. That's,
he's a must-own starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So I think that's the fact that he seems to be getting comfortable with his best pitch again, it's a very good sign. I would say he needs to be owned pretty much everywhere he's available.
All right, that's Kevin Gausman we're talking about. And it was against the Rays, right? 9 strikeouts?
Yeah.
They are the strikeout-iest team in baseball. I think that's a word. They lead baseball in strikeouts. Could also say that. So, all right, Clint Frazier for Scott, Kevin Gausman for Chris. What do I think we need to talk about? Well, you know what? We got a whole show of notes coming up, so we'll get to it there. Let's do a quick round of emails and tweets at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. What we really have to talk about is bullpens, because my prediction was somehow wrong. There was not a major trade. Jason Grilly on the move to Texas. Huge news.
Woo!
But not really. We'll talk about bullpens. We'll catch up on a lot of them. St. Louis, Atlanta, Alec Colomé struggling, Cleveland, Los Angeles of Anaheim, Baltimore, etc. Okay, here's a fantasy hot take from Kyle. Fantasy hot take. Joe Ross is Garrett Cole on a better team. Also, Garrett Cole is the most overrated pitcher in baseball.
Hmm.
I'm more comfortable with the second one than the first one, actually. Garrett Cole at this point might just be a little bit overrated. He's not the strikeout guy he was earlier in his career, and he doesn't do enough else well to make up for it. I think he's more like a high 3s ERA guy than you know, the high 2s ERA guy he was in that breakout 2015 season.
But is he the superlative? The most overrated of all the overrateds? Because, I mean, somebody tweeted me about Chris Archer calling him, I think you put it, just average, which I don't agree with that. But I do think Chris Archer is kind of overrated, too.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Archer than...
Yeah, no, for sure. Cole. I'd rather have Archer than Cole. I'm just saying there are probably a bunch
for
of
me,
overrated players we could come up with.
For me, Joe Ross is Garrett Cole without the ground balls, which means he's a worse version of Joe Ross, or Garrett Cole. And, you know, Joe Ross, he shows these flashes, but I don't know.
Is he a must-own? He's on a nice little streak here, Joe Ross. Is he a must-own? 80%
must-own's probably going a little far. I don't know what his ownership is up to now.
80.
80?
Yeah.
It could probably stand to go up a little from there. I do think there are some legitimate adjustments he has made, throwing the changeup about 10% more often, which has helped make him not a sitting duck against left-handed pitchers. He also... credits Dusty Baker has him running a lot more, something Max Scherzer does, and him losing his stuff in the middle of games, you know, tiring halfway through the game has gone down since that started. So two big adjustments that I feel like combined are making him an effective pitcher again.
Okay, that's Joe Ross, whose ERA is right around 3 over his last 6 starts. Had a good one against the Mets, who didn't have Cespedes or Curtis Granderson in their starting lineup yesterday. Emmanuel Mara, should I drop Lucroy for Tyler Flowers or Wilson Ramos? Should I drop Lucroy? Let's just get rid of Flowers for Wilson Ramos.
I don't see the upside to that. I mean,
Ramos has been okay. He's got 2 home runs, but for the most part, he's actually not hitting.
And he's not playing that regularly.
Yeah, he's only played 6 times in, what, 12 days since getting called up or returned from the DL?
I don't know exactly. But I mean, Lucroy, that's his problem too, mainly is not getting the regular playing time we're used to seeing from him. and that we expected to see from him. There is, I mean, obviously there's some hope for both. As Ramos gets further and further away from his DL stint, you'd think he'd play more as long as he performs. And then Lucroy, there's word that the Rangers are apparently shopping him.
Yeah.
I guess they feel like, you know, after, it's funny, after that drama, you know, with the Indians thinking they acquired Lucroy, but him blocking the deal and the Rangers getting him, he was like this prized commodity, and now he's just a spare part for the Rangers. I imagine if he does get traded, it would be to be some team's primary catcher, and that
he could go be
Yan
Gomes' backup.
Who's backup?
Yan Gomes.
I don't think that was the controversy for last year. Okay, so that's don't drop Lucroy for Wilson Ramos. George from Canada. Have Aaron Nola and Steven Matz reached must-start status in head-to-head 12-team leagues? Aaron Nola and Steven Matz.
Well, I got a better hot take.
Okay.
This is a question.
Steven Matz is the best sell-high candidate in baseball right now.
Okay.
How's that for a hot take?
Again, I'm hesitant to apply the superlative without considering everybody, but
it's the only one, Scott.
It's the only one. Okay.
If you don't strike people out, then Chris and Scott are just going to hate you.
Well, it's... Yes.
But he's doing it intentionally. And this is like last year with Chris Sale, when you said Chris Sale was pitching worse because he wanted to throw more innings, pitch deeper into games, and pitch to contact more. That's what Steven Matz is trying to do.
Fine. But we're comparing Chris Sale to Steven Matz. Chris Sale, when he's not trying to strike guys out, is still striking out over a batter per inning. Steven Matz is striking out 16.4% of opposing batters. He's at 5.8 per nine innings. And it hasn't led to an improved walk rate. And it's five starts. You know, one extra walk could change that entirely. But if he's not throwing his slider, and he's not, he's got a 5.7% swinging strike rate. Now, that's not everything. There are guys who can be effective with relatively low swinging strike rates. Steven Matz has actually been one of them, only 8.9% for his career, but he doesn't have a swing and miss pitch, and I struggle to see how you can be effective in this era of baseball without a swing and miss pitch.
Yeah, the quality of contact people are making now. Conversely, and I thought you were going to talk about Nola since you're the
resident
notorious...
Aaron Nola skeptic.
Presently a little skeptic of Nola.
Well, I've always been the Nola skeptic.
Yeah. I'd go so far as to call you a Nola detractor.
Skeptic.
No love for Nola.
Four really good starts in a row for Nola. And the swing is, he's one of those guys who doesn't have a high swinging strike rate, but he has a really high called strike rate to help make up for it. And he's been getting strikeouts lately. He's been pitching deep into games. The walks have been limited. He is probably a pitcher, like we've talked about with Marco Estrada, where the command has to be so fine.
Yeah.
When it is, he's you know, legit, looks like a frontline pitcher. But when it's not, he can get pounded. So it's, I don't think he's totally out of the woods yet, Nola. But I would call him must start at this present time.
I trust him more than Matt's moving forward. But I'll admit, I just have like a mental block on Aaron Nola. I can't figure him out. He's just so different from everyone else in baseball, really. And that's, it's hard to figure out who he is, even just within his own career. You know, he has these stretches of absolute brilliance, and then he has these stretches where he looks like he doesn't belong in the majors. It looks like he couldn't get college hitters out. And I just kind of think that's going to be who he is. I think he's going to be inconsistent.
Okay, can we legitimately go fast on this one, please? This is supposed to be a quick round of emails.
Sorry.
This is from Jeremy. What is Orlando Arcia's dynasty outlook? Is this hot streak the last week something to buy into for Orlando Arcia?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on Orlando Arcia. I'm going to carve out about 15 minutes.
No, you don't.
I think he's... The fact that he's a shortstop helps. He's a little less jaggy at shortstop, but I don't see a ton of reasons to think that he's a must-own shortstop in the long run.
Okay. Well, it might be different if you're thinking from a dynasty perspective, because suddenly his numbers are looking very encouraging. His batting average is up to 295, and with the 339 BABIP, that doesn't seem out of this world high. 8 home runs in...
which already matches his career high.
Yeah, so he's looking like, you know, that's about a 15-16 homer pace with a good batting average for a shortstop, a 22-year-old shortstop with a top prospect pedigree. I mean, I'm encouraged by what he's doing, and I do think if you lost Trey Turner, let's say, he's one of the top choices off the waiver wire right now, but he's still behind the... you know, the what we think of as the mixed league class of startable shortstops at this stage of his career.
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Arcia or VR?
VR.
Yeah, I think I'd still rather have VR. I wasn't keeping up with his playing time over the weekend, but assuming he's still playing with fairly regularly, I'd rather have VR.
Well, Sogard's a little banged up, so I know VR... I think he led off yesterday and struck out 3 times, or that maybe that was 2 days ago, I don't know. But yeah, Sogard's day-to-day with an ankle injury. All right, thank you for a quick round of emails. Time for Tuesday's standouts. And I'm just going to say America. America was a standout yesterday. Happy birthday. And love this country. USA. Yeah. I'm going to give you 2 guys who are, you know, relevant. There you go. That's what I always do. Stephen Vogt is 25% owned. 6 games with Milwaukee. Stephen Vogt is 5-for-15 with 3 home runs. Are you excited about this? Are you ready to like do the wave over Stephen Vogt?
No, I'd question the playing time still. He'll probably start against most of the right-handers, but it hasn't been every right-hander since he's joined the Brewers. Manny Pena is it Pena or Pena?
Pena, I believe. There's no
Manny Pena.
There's no Enya.
Yeah. Has played just as often against right-handers since Vogt came over. So that's still, you know, borderline top 25 status at catcher for
Yeah, Vogt. He's a two catcher league guy, not even worth looking at in one catcher league.
Zunino or Vogt?
Zunino.
Trevor Cahill is 55% owned, came off the DL and threw 4 1/3 scoreless innings at Cleveland. I imagine he was on a pitch count. He struck out 4 and still has 55 strikeouts now in 45 2/3 and a 2.96 ERA. Trevor Cahill, 55% owned. He certainly was more owned than that before he went on the DL. Should we be picking up Cahill?
Needs to be picked up. Everywhere you can, pick up Trevor Cahill. I have expressed my affection for Zach Godley a few times on this podcast, and everything I like about Zach Godley, Trevor Cahill was doing to a higher power before he went on the DL. Elite ground ball rate, as he's always had, but now with a, you know, much higher strikeout rate, emphasizing his breaking ball more, as Godley also has done. And it led to a high strikeout rate before going on the DL. Obviously, bad supporting cast, but still, the upside looks really high for Cahill.
Okay. Dodgers have some interesting pitchers, and they all kind of follow the same exact like path. They're all elite ground ball guys. Trevor Cahill, Luis Perdomo, and I guess that's the extent of the list. But
Chacin, every time Chacin starts at home, he does well. You know, I know he's not... I think he might be a little, I don't know if he's under-owned Chacin, but just, you know, if you're desperate for a starter in a daily league or something and Yolish Chacin has a home game, his ERA is, I'm almost positive, under 2 at home. It might be under like 150. No, yeah. Okay. All right. That concludes our Padres talk. Let's do some hey real quick. We'll get to the big news, which include injuries to Ian Desmond, Carlos Correa, call up in St. Louis. We'll talk about bullpens a little bit later. But hey, real quick, guys, Freddie Freeman, who's going to be third base eligible pretty soon, he's back. He played third yesterday. You figure he'd be third base eligible soon. Needs 4 more appearances. Freddie Freeman or 1-for-26, Josh Donaldson, 1-for-26. Who would you rather own, Freeman or Donaldson?
Well, I know Scott and I have been much more all in on Freeman's breakout this season and the second half of last season than Heath was, at least. And, I'm going to say Freeman. I have some concerns about his ability to continue hitting for power coming back from this fractured wrist, especially coming back so soon, because that's what it all comes down to. Freddie Freeman's breakout is all about him developing into an elite power hitter with an elite power hitter's profile. We'll see. But assuming he's the guy he was before the injury, I would take him over Donaldson.
And it has nothing to do with Donaldson's slump. Like, I just legitimately feel like Freeman as a hitter has surpassed Donaldson. At least that's how it was looking before he got hurt.
Oh, okay. We're done?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Who would you rather have real quick? Mike Moustakas and his 24 home runs, or Justin Turner and his 384 batting average? Mike Moustakas or Justin Turner?
Turner.
Yep.
Turner. Because we know he's a pretty good power hitter, too. Got off to a slow start in that area. But he and Daniel Murphy were like the founders of the fly ball revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Before it became the cool thing to do, they emerged as these power hitters out of nowhere. And Justin Turner has picked up the power production of late.
Yeah.
Started to make up ground in that category. And I think he's going to be, he's not going to overtake Moustakas in home runs at this point, but he's going to be the much more well-rounded hitter and better overall.
And his plate discipline has been phenomenal this year. Yes. Three more walks than strikeouts now?
No, one more walk. Do some math, Chris. 26 walks, 25 strikeouts in 60 games.
Fine.
Now, speaking of walks, so Chris said Steven Matz, best sell high candidate in fantasy baseball. What about Mike Moustakas? This guy has walked 15 times. He has 14 doubles in half a season. It's not terrible, but it's nothing special. He, I guess, is sort of reminding me of Scott Schebler last year, where it's like, or Adam Duvall. Adam Duvall last year, where it's like, all he does is homer. And I guess there's no reason to think that's necessarily going to stop, except we don't see Moustakas hitting 48 home runs this year. But if it does stop, like, he's not a batting average guy. He doesn't walk. He doesn't double, at least not now. He's got the, Moustakas has the fewest walks of any of the top 13 third basemen. Is Mike Moustakas a sell high candidate?
Yes, but I don't know how many people are buying it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be motivated to sell high on him because he's not. Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends what, maybe I'm just approaching it from the perspective, like Chris was saying, that I don't know what that even looks like. What would you'd get back? That would be high enough.
Could you see him having a dreadful second half, a la Adam Duvall?
I definitely could.
It's possible, but he's like, there's a very good chance he gets traded too. And if his home park isn't Kansas City anymore, that obviously improves his odds of sustaining elite home run.
And it is worth noting, this breakout, as far as it goes, did start in 2016 before he got hurt. Going back to the start of 2016, he's played 101 games. He has 30 homers, 63 RBI, only 66 strikeouts. He doesn't walk much, but you know, there's legitimate power breakout here.
Yeah, I think it's like his batting average is low because he hits so many fly balls, which is why he hits so many home runs. But he doesn't strike out at like a Duvall rate. He doesn't strike out like you'd expect a guy on pace for 40 home runs to do. So like, even if that fly ball rate was to fall some, I think he'd make up for it in batting average a little. And I don't know. I don't feel like the floor is that low for Mike Moustakas.
Hey, real quick, Danny Duffy or Alex Wood?
Alex Wood.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
But, I mean,
Alex Wood is this year's
good.
Danny Duffy. Like, that's, I think we were saying that earlier in the season, and it's held true. He's
kind of
sustained the velocity gains since joining the rotation, and it's made him unhittable.
Okay, then. So, Alex Wood, Danny Duffy or Luis Severino?
Severino.
Really?
Yeah. Severino's great.
Severino's really good.
I think Duffy...
I still like Duffy.
Duffy's fine.
But there were some warning signs even before he went on the DL that he wasn't the same pitcher.
He made a mechanical adjustment. He was starting to pitch better before going on the DL, except the last start, you know, then he got crushed and then he went on the DL. But he was starting to pitch better. His velocity went up, according to what I had read. He made a mechanical adjustment and it helped the velocity. I don't remember if it helped the strikeouts or not.
I don't believe it did. This first start back for the DL was actually a little on the low side as far as velocity goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, his last two starts before going on the DL were two of his better strikeout performances. So maybe there is something to the mechanical adjustment, like you were saying, but it's nothing compared to what Severino's been doing with the strikeout this year.
All right, hey, real quick, Harry's Razors or any of those other horrible razor companies that aren't nearly as good as Harry's?
Harry's.
Okay, Harry's. Yeah. I agree, guys, and you all should go to harrys.com/FBT, harrys.com/FBT, for a free trial shave set. This is an awesome deal. You know what you have to pay? Shipping. $3. Okay, over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's Razors because you're getting a great shave at a fair price. This was started by two ordinary guys, Jeff and Andy, who were fed up with buying overpriced razors. So they started Harry's to fix shaving. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience. You're going to get the highest quality, and you're getting... Basically, you're getting half the price. You're getting the same type of shave at half the price. They offer their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor, and they sell directly to you over the internet. It comes right to your door. It's a convenient way to get an amazing shave. I use my Harry's razor. I gave away, I bought three shave kits for Father's Day because I wanted people to have these, and everybody who's gotten them, like, wow, this is really cool. It's a great shave. Thank you so much, Adam. You are the best, and, you know, that's why I do this. Anyway, you get your free trial offer from Harry's for just $3. That's a $13 value for free. Go to harrys.com/FBT. You get a razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. harrys.com/FBT. Go there right now, harrys.com/FBT. All right, the big news, Marcus Stroman left Monday's start with a blister, and he is angry about it. He says, come on, MLB, stop turning a blind eye to this blister thing. He may not make his next start. It's going into the All-Star break. Shouldn't be a huge deal, but yeah, there are a lot of blisters, and they say the ball's not juiced. They say the seams aren't different, but I don't know if the seams were different.
Who says?
Baseball.
Okay.
MLB.
Justin Verlander had some quotes about the seams as well. He basically said they're non-existent at this point, both Justin Verlander and Marcus Stroman, I think, doth protest a bit too much in this instance, but there's definitely something different with the baseball.
Ian Desmond's on the DL with a strained calf. Anybody interested in picking up Raimel Tapia?
Only in deeper
leagues.
Yeah,
I mean, he's interesting. For sure. He looks like he could be a ridiculously good contact hitter in a place where his home park already makes for like high BABIPs. Like he looks like he could be a batting title contender someday. Tapia.
Isn't he just Gerardo Parra though?
No, I think he's better than Parra. I think he's going to have more power in the long run. And I think he's even an even better contact hitter than Parra. So right now, he may not be any better than Parra at this stage of his career.
Yeah, that's what I mean right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Raimel Tapia. Carlos Correa day-to-day with a jammed thumb. The Cardinals called up Luke Voit. He is 2% owned. He is 7-for-19. They called him up a little while ago. He's played 9 games. But yeah. Hometown hero, Luke Voit. Anyone care about Luke Voit?
Of course he's hitting well after nobody's ever heard of him, because this is what the Cardinals do. He'll probably win an MVP award at some point.
You know, the best... The extent I care about Voit, Luke Voit, is the extent he has Matt Carpenter playing second base. Which, I mean, maybe says something about the Cardinals' confidence level in Voit, but at least against left-handers, it looks like Voit is going to play first and Carpenter is going to shift to second, and hopefully that'll add up to 20 appearances at second base for Carpenter, so he's not just first base only heading into next year.
Yeah, and actually I was watching a Cardinals game like a month ago. Who the heck was doing the game? You know, that guy, Rick Sutcliffe. And he thought that they should move him off of first base because he felt like it was affecting his hitting. And we shall see. But that would be nice if he could hit a little bit better. Mike Trout's going to begin a rehab assignment soon. Logan Morrison does not think Gary Sanchez should be in the home run derby. Lobo said, quote, I remember when I had 14 home runs. That was a month and a half ago.
You know, what all this made me think?
What?
How obnoxious Logan Morrison would have been if he'd actually been good for any of the last 8 years before this. It was like, you have 2 good months, all of a sudden you're going to spout off? Come on, man.
Well, I could see him going into the home run derby ahead of Gary Sanchez. I think that's fair.
Who cares? Does anybody want to see Logan Morrison in the home run derby? Yeah. At least Gary Sanchez is fun, plays for a big market team. He's better.
Well, that's not fair to Logan Morrison, Chris. Just
Logan Morrison's not being fair to Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez is a catcher who missed a month of action.
And, you know, he's already going to be in Miami for the All-Star game.
That's true. That's
plus,
true.
Logan Morrison hated Hanley Ramirez when he was with the Marlins, so he's an enemy of the state.
Lobo can drive there.
When do we find out who wins the final vote?
I don't know. I haven't voted yet. Who'd you guys vote for?
I have not voted yet. But Elvis, Anthony Rendon definitely should win.
Yeah, Anthony Rendon from the NL and Elvis Andrews from the AL, and I don't really have to think about it that hard. Not that the other four choices from each league aren't also deserving
of
being All-Stars.
Well, I don't think DJ
I mean,
Morris
kind of the
is.
Problem this year is, you know, there are way too many All-Star caliber hitters.
DJ LeMahieu should not have made the All-Star game. Yeah. That is a disaster.
Yeah, that's but like there who would be this backup second baseman in the
Anthony
NL?
Rendon can play second.
He certainly can.
Would have been a better choice than DJ LeMahieu.
Put Anthony Rizzo on the roster to play second base since that's the position he plays now.
There you go.
Speaking of the Cubs, they are interested in Justin Verlander and Alex Avila. Avila, by the way, is only 65% owned. He has a 992 OPS and he's caught 4 of the last 5 games. And he mostly sits against lefties, but Avila, he might help you out. I don't think it would be good if he went to the Cubs because he probably wouldn't play nearly as much.
Yeah.
Miguel Cabrera left with hip tightness. He's expected to play tonight. And David Price left with a finger injury. He had a great start. It doesn't seem serious. Closing time. Let's talk about bullpens. So I'm trying to sum up. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bullpens. Wow. That's good work by me. That's a lot of work. All right.
Way to go, Adam.
My summary of the Nationals bullpen is just ugh. UGH. Do you guys spell that UGH? Is that the correct spelling?
Yeah, that's the proper spelling.
I don't even know what to say here. They don't seem to be getting many save chances lately. They're just killing everyone. But Matt Albers has had a shot at it. He stunk. Quick thoughts on the Nationals bullpen.
Your guess is as good as mine. The closer in 3 weeks is probably not currently on the roster. I think that's still the expectation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Texas. Matt
Cota
Bush.
Cota Glover's out a long time. Did you mention that? Cota Glover's out a long
time? He's not close. It's Texas. Jeremy Jeffress activated from the DL. He's had a bad year this year, but he had been good in previous 3 seasons. And, you know, Leclerc is in the mix, I guess. Matt Bush, not necessarily out of it, but who's... Best guess
Bush
in Texas.
Bush is still on the DL?
No, Matt Bush is fine.
No, Bush is fine.
It was Keone Kayla, who looks like he was about to overtake Matt Bush, and then suddenly he wound up on the DL. Doesn't seem like a long-term issue, but it buys Matt Bush some time, and I would still bet on Matt Bush in the long run because of that. Kayla's worth keeping close, but it doesn't seem like the Rangers have a great deal of confidence in Leclerc and high-leverage roles. Unless something's changed recently, I'm going to open up his game.
I'm sorry, Scott. You would bet on who? You would bet on who in the long term?
I'd still bet on Bush, Matt Bush.
All right. I dropped him in a 2 closer in a 12-team points league, but I have Zach Britton coming back. He'll be off the DL tomorrow. That brings us to Baltimore. They're going to ease Zach Britton. Actually, he's coming off the DL today. They're going to ease Zach Britton.
Leclerc's basically been a 7th inning guy.
We'll ease Zach Britton back into the closer's role in Baltimore. Let's go to Atlanta. Jim Johnson has blown 6 saves in 24 chances. Do you think Jim Johnson is in any danger of losing his job?
I can't say zero. There are pitchers on the Braves with relievers on the Braves with lower ERAs, and Aroldis Vizcaíno is one of them. But Jim Johnson has by far the best FIP in their bullpen. And believe it or not, a continuation from the second half of last year, he also has the best K per 9 in their bullpen. It's 11.3. So, you know, extreme ground ball pitcher, doesn't allow many home runs. I think it's just been bad timing, some bad luck there.
There's a chance he gets traded again, right?
There is a chance he gets traded and probably not to serve as a closer. So that's something you have to keep in mind. Certainly in, like, deep leagues, in all only leagues, I'd own Vizcaíno. But I don't think Johnson's actually on the verge of losing his job, at least not if I was managing the Braves.
Best guess in St. Louis.
Sengwon
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets another chance, and don't have a lot of confidence in him, but I think he gets another chance.
If Trevor Rosenthal could stop tripping on his own feet, he'd have a chance, but he's just, he's not very good.
They both pitched yesterday because they hadn't pitched since July 1st, and it was a non-save situation. They lost, but Rosenthal pitched the 8th and O pitched the 9th, and they both threw a scoreless inning. Best guess in the Angels bullpen with Bud Norris off the DL.
Bud Norris.
Yep.
Bud Norris, okay. Best guess, well, not best guess. Is there any chance you think Alex Colome could lose his job? His last five appearances, Colome has given up 10 earned runs. Brad Boxberger pitched the 7th yesterday. Tommy Hunter pitched the 8th. These guys are good players with track records. Alex Colome, do you think there's a chance he could lose his job?
I don't think there's a chance in the near future that he's just going to be removed in, you know, like the way we saw with Sam Dyson earlier this year. There may be a pull him away for half a week or a week.
And the fact that this slump is coming in June or July rather than April really helps.
But this is like 10 runs in 5 outings. This is five in a row.
It's been ugly.
And he hasn't had that good of a year when you look at the walk-to-strikeout ratio compared to last year. It's not even close.
No, not compared to last year, but compared to everyone else in the Rays bullpen. There's no closer in waiting in the Rays bullpen. They want Colome to figure it out because he's clearly their most talented reliever. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we've got the A's. Santiago Casilla blew his 4th save. He now has a 4.02 ERA. You think you could see a change in the A's bullpen?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think adding Sean Doolittle is a bad idea.
All right. Let's move on to Cleveland. Cody Allen. He pitched, he got a one out save Sunday. He pitched yesterday. They were losing 1-0. Corey Kluber with an amazing start, but he lost. And he struck out the side at the Padres.
There's nothing actionable at all in Cleveland's bullpen. You have to ride it out. Cody Allen's going to lose some save opportunities at times, but he's not going to lose the job.
And finally, Jairys Familia could be back in about a month, early August. So there's that.
He's so relieved I unloaded Addison Reed in my Dynasty League. So relieved.
Yeah, all right. It's time for our discovery of the day. I couldn't believe this. Absolutely blew my mind over the weekend. Scott White has an unbelievable singing voice.
Unbelievable.
It's incredible. He posted a video on Facebook of him singing to his kid, and it was like a rock concert. You killed it. It was amazing. It was the best.
What song did you sing?
The Cat Came Back.
I don't know that one.
I think that's what it's called.
Is that a Led Zeppelin song, Scott?
I have no idea. I heard it from Lori Berkner.
It's not. I'm just kidding. I was kind of singing
her version of the song, but there are a few different versions of The Cat Came Back.
It's a song about a cat. And he starts the video. It's like a 3-minute video. He starts the video like on his cat in the kitchen, and then he goes over and he starts singing the song. He starts singing like the bass line of the song, and then he goes over to his kid, Everett, who's eating at the dinner table. And it's amazing what Scott does. Scott sings the whole verse, and then I guess during the chorus, they're supposed to make a cat sound. So Everett makes the cat sound. It's like, it was a great, heartwarming video. But Scott has pipes. He killed it. It's the best thing you've ever done, Scott.
Oh, well, thank you, Adam.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
All right. Good job. I loved it. Let's see. What else do we got here? More news and notes for you. Very sad to see that Dan Schulman will not be doing Sunday Night Baseball next season. Mark Trumbo left with a bruised calf. He fouled the ball off his calf, so it's not like one of those strained calves or anything. Yasmani Tomas had a setback. He's going to be out for a little while now. He's still on the DL, but he had a setback with his groin. AJ Pollock will be back soon. I don't think this gets Ketel Marte in the lineup, does it?
Well, Pollock is back now.
Pollock's back?
He's off the DL.
I missed that? Wow, I guess I was partying too
much
over this.
Pollock came back yesterday. Pollock came back. And he went 1-for-4 with a double. So what was the question?
What is the Ketel Marte sitch?
Well, he hasn't been playing very much, so I would guess they're going to send it back down at first opportunity. It's been disappointing to me how little he's played after the kind of season he had at AAA.
Yeah, he got the start at third yesterday.
Oh, they sat Jake Lamb against Kershaw.
But he's only started 3 games in about 9 days up, so that's not a good sign. I do like Ketel Marte.
in the long run as a guy who should have good plate discipline, but just doesn't seem like the opportunity's there.
All right, guys. Next note, Hyunjin Ryu is on the DL with a sore foot. Dodgers at it again. Jason Hayward's off the DL. Albert Pujols homered for the first time since June 17th. You think that's bad? Christian Yelich hit his first home run in 32 days.
Yeah, but it was probably only like his fourth fly ball in that span. So if you think about it that way.
That's not bad. Hey, Chris, you get my you think that's bad reference?
No.
You think that's bad? It's like, remember the time I had lunch in Mexico with Gary Coleman? It's a terrible impression.
Okay, yeah, that's...
South Park impersonating, or Family Guy impersonating South Park, or whatever it was.
I think it was South Park impersonating Family Guy, yeah.
Yonder Alonso told Franklin Barreto during yesterday's game that Barreto needed to be more aggressive, so he did, and he was, and he hit a triple and a home run, so we'll keep an eye on that.
I love that as the panacea of all things. Just be more aggressive. Every sport, every player just needs to be more aggressive. Meanwhile, Franklin Barreto has a 40% strikeout rate, so maybe he needs to be a little less aggressive.
Is that the way you pronounce that? Panacea?
I don't think so.
I always said panacea, but I only know it from like Final Fantasy games.
That might be like the third time I've ever said it out loud.
Yeah, so I'm going to go panacea. No, I think it's panacea.
Who's the last player to begin his career where the first three extra base hits he had were two home runs and a triple? No doubles yet.
No, but the thing with Barreto is that, you know, he kept falling behind in the count. It wasn't like...
Panacea,
yeah. He kept falling behind in the count. So Yonder said, go up there and be more aggressive, and he did. David Robertson's on paternity leave. Corey Kluber, 5 straight games with double-digit strikeouts, Cleveland record. Danny Salazar will make a rehab start tomorrow. Charlie Morton and Aaron Sanchez look like they're going to pitch against each other on Friday. Also, Brad Peacock may not make his second start this week because Musgrove's starting today, Morton on Friday. So it's either going to be Peacock or Francis Martez on Sunday. I'm hoping it's Peacock because I don't own Martez and I own Peacock. Aaron Sanchez could start Friday. Oh, I said that. Scooter Gennett sat against the lefty yesterday, but then he hit a pinch-hit home run, and he's homered in 2 straight games at Colorado. Scooter Gennett just keeps on keeping on. Mm-hmm. Starling Marte is going to be back on July 18th.
He will be playing left field.
Yes, Andrew McCutchen, the great Andrew McCutchen, will stay in center.
Even though he's been really bad in center.
Matt Shoemaker could return after the All-Star break. Brian Dozier day-to-day with back tightness. Kyle Schwarber could be back this week. He's turned it around at AAA. And the Angels sent Alex Meyer to AAA, but Meyer will be back. You're going to see guys go to AAA with the All-Star break coming just to get work in. So that's what happened with Alex Meyer. Double dongs from yesterday. Yonder Alonso, Eric Thames, Andrew McCutchen, and Andrew Benintendi. Yonder Alonso, 77% owned, hit 2 home runs against the White Sox. His previous 20 games, Yonder hit 194 with 1 home run. He had been terrible. Yep. And by the way, Franklin Barreto told him to hit 2 home runs, so he did. But
more teams should do that.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
So what do you think? Like, is the Yonder Alonso magic? I know he hit 2 home runs yesterday, but are you guys concerned that it's done?
He is certainly droppable in shallower leagues just because there's so many good first basemen.
I don't think we've seen the last of him, though.
No, I don't. I think he's clearly an improved player, but he's not as good as he looked a month ago.
Yeah. I actually dropped Justin Bour in the 12-team points league, that version of the podcast league, and I would say the same for him. I don't think we've heard the last of him as a valuable mixed league option. Just they're kind of interchangeable in that format and shallower.
Ugh, I'm going to lose to Heath this week. That is so... just embarrassing. Stinks. Well, okay. That's an aside.
Andrew Benintendi, he didn't just double dong. He went 5 for 5.
He did. I'm quite surprised that Andrew Benintendi is the number 18 outfielder in points leagues, number 21 in Roto. I'm even more surprised at the Roto thing because I know he walks a lot. But top 21 outfielder for Benintendi, I don't know what it was before this two-homer game with 6 RBIs, but... I don't know. Well, 50 RBIs and 43 runs certainly helps for Benintendi.
Over the last month, his OPS hit a season low 707 on June 3rd.
He's hitting 314 with a 954 OPS in that time.
Is a lot of that on base percentage? I'm just asking.
396. He's got a 558 slugging. He's got 10 extra base hits in his last 22 starts.
All right. So he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's just a good hitter. I think he's, you know, just good.
Who do you think will have a better year going forward, Eric Thames or Andrew McCutchen?
I have McCutchen higher.
I have Thames higher. But I'm losing confidence in Thames. Hopefully that little 2-day period he took to kind of clear his mind, I don't know, said it's something he would worked on in Korea, kind of a meditation thing. And he's come back with 3 home runs in 2 games. So I don't know. I need to see a hot streak from Thames soon.
It's more confidence in McCutchen for me.
Yeah.
Than lack of confidence in Thames.
Okay, ready for this? I'm sick of this Andrew McCutchen stuff. Like,
okay.
Isn't he? This can't continue. Andrew McCutchen has 16 home runs. These are his home runs in his last 4 seasons. And this, 2 of those seasons, he was really good. 21, 25, 23, and 24. And we're basically at the halfway point of the season right now for just about every team. So McCutchen's on like a 30 homer pace, maybe 32. He's played 81 games. And I looked at the batted balls. He's not hitting more fly balls.
But.
What?
The laces are lower.
I guess that's true, but I just feel like right now McCutchen, relative
to the league, he's not really seeing that big of an increase in power.
Well, he is over the last, you know, 5 weeks.
Right. I think you take the, at this point in the season, you take it as a whole.
You know,
we've got 81 games. 81 games is a small enough sample size where once you start slicing and dicing and trying to say, well, this is who he really is or this is who he really is, with these kind of arbitrary endpoints, it's just like, just take Andrew McCutchen's numbers for what they are. You know, low strikeout rate, high walk rate, hitting for decent power, but not elite. I think that's pretty much who he is now.
I'm going to have the last laugh on Andrew McCutchen. I might be laughing at myself,
but
one way or another, I will laugh. Why not? Laughter is good. Let's talk about pitchers from yesterday. Wait, I skipped a very important section here. Because I'm an idiot. It was the best and the worst of the last 5 days. Do you even see it in the notes?
No.
Did I delete it?
Yep.
You probably did. It was an idiotic thing to do, Adam.
What the heck? Why did I delete that?
I don't know.
What else did I delete? Probably some major trade. All right, fine. Let's talk about rotation and fringy starting pitchers. Why don't you rank these guys for me? Jimmy James Nelson. He's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Happ. Very, very consistent lately.
Yep.
And the strikeouts are up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the swinging strikes are up, though. No, it's not. Jameson Taillon, who said he threw 5 scoreless innings with 9 strikeouts, and then he said something that made Scott and Chris cringe. He said, quote, I'd rather go 7 innings with 4 strikeouts.
Well, he's that kind of pitcher, too. He's a bit of a ground ball pitch-to-contact guy.
Yeah. All right, Nelson Happ, Taillon. Lance Lynn, who's had 2 good ones in a row. This was a better start than the final line. And Brad Peacock, who had, I think, his 2nd quality start. And since Brad Peacock made his first start 8 starts ago, he's been the number 40 starting pitcher in points leagues. I don't know in Roto. It's a little harder to calculate.
Probably higher, I would guess, just because he throws so few innings, that's going to drag him down in points.
Strikeouts are so good,
probably.
But the whip is high too. But
pretty good, 40th with only 2 quality starts, and the only reason he has 2 is because of innings, not because of run prevention.
Yep, Jimmy Nelson, Jay Happ, Taillon, Lynn, Peacock. Who you got?
That's the order I'd rank them: Nelson, Happ, Taillon, Lynn, Peacock.
Wow.
With the caveat that in a shallow league, let's say 10 teams or fewer, I might give Peacock the edge over Lynn, because I don't know that Lynn's upside is enough for him to stand out in those shallower leagues. But normally I'd go the safe route with Lynn over Peacock, and I think you have them ranked right here.
I have Taillon at the top, obviously. Nelson,
obviously.
Well, we know my love of Taillon is well established at this point.
Okay.
Taillon, Nelson, little gap, Happ, little gap, Lynn, Peacock.
Okay. Jimmy Nelson, man. What a surprise.
It's been fantastic.
What a year. 112 strikeouts in 104 innings. Other starting pitchers. Oh, I didn't put the worryometer in either. I feel like I lost a page in the notes. Do you see
the
worryometer in your
document?
Do you see the worryometer in your notes?
Nope.
I guess I just deleted it.
What are you doing, Adam?
Justin Verlander, John Lester, Chris Archer, they were on the worryometer, and Felix Hernandez was on the worryometer, and I just think he should be on the dropometer.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, I'm not saying he's a 10 on the dropometer, but it's worth discussing dropping Felix Hernandez. I think we've seen enough between this year and last.
Would you drop Felix Hernandez for Luis Castillo, who struck out 5 at Coors Field? Or struck out 9 at Coors Field, excuse me.
Yeah, and the walks were low for him, which is something he did in the minors, and we were waiting to
see. I'm very impressed by this Luis Castillo kid.
Yeah, I'm
really
glad
the Marlins traded him.
I might wait on dropping Felix Hernandez for him because I feel like I can wait. Mm-hmm. Because there have been good signs from Luis Castillo. He hasn't exactly had a good start yet. And I have confidence he will, but let's see just a little more from Felix Hernandez before we make that switch.
Yeah, Felix is like 93% owned. People really still have faith in him.
I mean, Adam Wainwright's almost that owned, so.
Yeah, I personally don't have that much faith in Felix, but
Doesn't have the stuff anymore.
Yeah, would you drop Felix Hernandez for Trevor Cahill?
I'd be more likely to do that, I think, because I have a lot of confidence in Cahill, and it's possible all that time away just completely crushed his momentum, and he'll never be able to regain what he was showing before the injury. But I would not want somebody else to benefit from Trevor Cahill if he does pick up where he left off. I want it to be me. Me.
You. Selfish.
Me.
Selfish Scott White.
That's how Rick Grimes says me. Me.
Who's Rick Grimes?
Who's Rick Grimes?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Walking Dead.
Oh.
He ends a lot of sentences with me.
Like, I know Rick
from
Grimes.
Me. To me. Me.
Carl. A lot of impressions today. I like it. Oh, man, we are rested and relaxed. We got to take more 5-day weekends or 4-day weekends, Chris Towers. Make that happen.
I got you.
Thank you.
I got you.
I mean, I'm taking a whole week off next week, so there's that. And
you'll be rested, and you'll be deleting everything the next day.
Deleting?
Yeah, from the notes.
Oh yeah, jeez, well, I can't believe I did that.
Delete your mind, jeez.
At least I know them somewhat off the top of my head. So. While we're on that subject, how worried are you about Justin Verlander, John Lester, and Chris Archer?
I'm not particularly worried about any of them. Pitchers are just so inherently inconsistent that when you see these stretches, like Justin Verlander just actually had probably the best stretch of his season and then has this awful start on Sunday. I think it's like the first time in many years that he's had a start without a strikeout. That's worrying, but he was looking so much better before that I'm not particularly worried about him.
I mean, there will come a point where we're going to have to stop apologizing for Verlander, but I don't think we're there yet either because there were some encouraging signs. I mentioned Archer might be a little overrated at the start of the show, and you know, to clarify that, because a lot of people, when they hear overrated, they think bad. Chris Archer's a must-start pitcher. I mean, he's one of the best strikeout pitchers in the game. But he's not so great at run prevention. He's not, for all the bats he misses, he can be pretty hittable. He has control issues. He's kind of, like, I think we should expect an ERA closer to 4 than 3 from Chris Archer going forward. On the Rays, that might not.
I don't know, man.
He might continue to struggle to have a good win-loss record.
Is he, like, maybe just a better version of Robbie Ray?
Anyway, first of all, the Rays are a wild card team right now. They're
right.
44-41.
They're not one of those. Like they're in, if the season ended today, they'd be in the wild card.
They're really not bad. I mean,
Lomo
and Dickerson having this kind of a year,
they're not bad. I'd like Chris Archer's win loss potential more with the Yankees because of the offense he'd have backing him. You know?
Yeah, except the Yankees can't win anymore, but.
No.
They had
Chris Archer, they could.
What the heck were we saying? Oh, Archer, like, So going into the year, you know, he had been consistently like a 330 ERA guy, and then last year he had a bad first half, and then second half it was more like 320 or something his ERA. So I just figured that he'd, you know, had one bad half of a season, and he was like a 330 ERA guy, which is still a little high for someone with his strikeouts. But you think more like high threes for Chris Archer?
I'd expect something in the mid-three range.
All right, but Scott said high threes.
I said closer to four than three. I mean, it might be like 3.6.
All right.
3.51 is closer to four than three.
It is, yeah.
But technicality.
I mean, the BABIP's a little on the high side for Archer, I guess. He's normally like 295, and right now he's 328. So, you know, maybe I'm overstating it a little, but this seems to be an ongoing issue for him where he's just not quite the ace we want him to be.
Let's finish the show by looking at today's matchup. Starter sit, Marco Estrada at Michael Pineda.
I'll start both hesitantly.
I'm not starting Estrada.
Yeah, I would not either. I need to see a good stretch of starts from him to trust him fully.
Blake Snell at John Lackey.
I would not start either.
Neither would I.
Mike Pelfrey at Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray.
Definitely start Sonny Gray.
Yeah, let's run him out there.
Garrett Cole at Ben Lively.
I will start Garrett Cole.
I would too. Yep.
Jacob deGrom at Tanner Roark.
I want to see what the Mets lineup looks like. I don't hate the idea of starting Tanner Roark given the guys they're missing.
He's been abysmal. I wouldn't trust him against the Padres right now. But I would absolutely trust deGrom.
How about we're not going to start Jason Aquino or Matt Garza. So no. Luis Perdomo at Trevor Bauer.
I'll go Bauer, sure.
Yeah, Bauer's a good streaming option.
Ty Block at Daniel Norris.
No.
Pass on both.
Joe Musgrove at Jaime Garcia.
Pass on both.
Yeah, no, don't. Yeah, neither.
I hope you didn't start Sean Newcomb in a two-star week this week. He had the worst matchups in baseball. He had the Astros, and he's at the Nationals this weekend. He's not good.
Yeah, I was a little worried about him.
Luis Castillo was at Colorado, at Arizona. That might be worse.
That might be worse. I don't know, actually. Astros Close. Are incredible.
Oh, we didn't mention. No what? Humidor this year.
No, we mentioned that, yeah.
Oh, okay, on Friday?
Yeah. Red Sox and Rangers, Doug Fister, Andrew Cashner, no.
Neither.
The Red Sox are back, by the way. Like, I sat Jacob Faria this week. One-star pitcher against the Red Sox, not interested. Yep. Parker Bridwell, Irvin Santana, Angels at Twins.
Starting Santana.
Volquez at Mike Leake.
Starting Leake.
Yeah.
Scott Feldman at John Gray. This is in Colorado. Are we starting John Gray?
I'd prefer to sit both, if I can.
Yeah, probably. Probably sitting Gray and certainly Feldman, though Feldman's been okay lately. Yeah. Wouldn't expect it at Colorado.
John Gray, that was a start we didn't talk about. That was, I think, Friday. He was amazing coming off the DL.
He's real good.
Zach Godley at Alex Wood. All right, we're going to start them both. Are we going to start Godley at the Dodgers, just to confirm?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And Jason Vargas at Ariel Miranda.
What do you think, Chris? You starting Vargas?
You have to keep starting Vargas, and at some point it's going to blow up in your face.
And I don't think Miranda's bad with this matchup either. I think they're both... Vargas definitely starting Miranda. If I already had him on my roster, I'd absolutely start him.
All right, fellas. Thank you for a good show. It's good to be back. Catching up with everybody. Ooh, I got 4 starts today in my Yahoo League. I need some big ones. You guys told me to start all of them. So,
what are you doing playing on Yahoo, Adam?
Nah, he's got one.
Get out of here.
You know what's frustrating? Like, I can't take AJ. I forgot. I can't take AJ Pollock off the DL right now and have him play today. He's not eligible to play until tomorrow. What a weird rule that is.
That's weird.
But I digress. Goodbye, everybody.